Delgado is here, a member of our Fox 5 team. Jen, are you like, what's your official title? Are you meteorologist?
I am a meteorologist. Yes, I am. Okay. I am a STEM girl. I've been a meteorologist since about 2008. And before here, I was at Weather Channel. And before that, I was at CNN. So I also did a show for the Discovery Channel, a weather, just like an international weather expert. So weather is my game. That's my love.
Wow. Okay, my God, you've had all kinds of shows on weather, different networks. How is working for Discovery? I'm obsessed with them. I mean, normally they have people that are eating their sofa cushions, but I guess, or popping pimples.
It was a great show. Yeah, I did that last season. It was a great show. I'm not doing it anymore because obviously I'm here. But, you know, it's really fun. I really love, weather. I love geography. I love all things that have to do with science. But one thing I really liked about tapping into some of the other previous jobs is more international weather and just kind of getting into tsunamis, getting into volcanoes, covering typhoons as opposed to just hurricanes or tropical systems. So I have a big love for all international weather, especially in a lot of other countries. The weather service isn't as good as what we have here in the U.S. And we're really lucky for that. So a lot of times, we would get stories from people and they'd say, hey, you saved our lives. We didn't know this was going to happen. So it really is just, it's a very fulfilling job. I love it.
Real quick, what's your take on climate change? Do you feel like you have to inform people about that? Do you stay
Absolutely.
Out of it? What do you think?
Absolutely. The climate is warming and we need to save it for the animals, for the kids of the future, your mom, These are things that we need to intervene because these temperature changes and the swings, this isn't the norm. And we have to try to cut back and lower our CO2 to try to, to stop this pace that's happening. I mean, with, climate change, we're seeing such extremes. We're seeing, stronger tornadoes. We're seeing stronger hurricanes and bigger flood events. And of course, out in the West, wildfires. So, absolutely, climate change is here. And we really need to respect it and believe it's too late for people to try to deny this.
Wow. Oh, that's great. And I mean, you guys are in a tough position, right? Because I'm sure if you say that, you're going to get people that disagree with you or say you shouldn't be, it's political now. But I'm glad to hear, obviously you speak your truth. That's what your truth is. You work in the business.
Yeah, it is.
Now
more people are starting to get on board with it. But I even remember just maybe even 6 or 7 years ago, even fellow meteorologists didn't actually believe in climate change. And I think now a lot of people have really come around and seen the science like, okay, we can't dispute this.
All right, let's go back. You grew up in Atlanta, right?
Actually, I'm from St. Louis, and I moved here from Atlanta, but Atlanta has my heart now. I will tell you that.
Really?
I'm an 18-year-old girl.
Everybody loves Atlanta.
And love it.
I know, and there's
it's
a
warm,
lot.
Warm.
Yeah, what do you love about it?
It's a little crazy, but hey, that's Atlanta for you. Don't let it snow, because then you'll be stuck in your car for like 13 hours.
Oh, yeah, forget they have no idea what to do with snow. Okay, you grew up in St. Louis. Tell me about life in St. Louis. Did you have siblings? What did your parents do? How was life there?
Yeah, I came from actually a STEM family. My dad was a chemist and my mom was a nurse. So the whole family was in science. And even my sister went to school for biology. So I'm from St. Louis out in West County. And I had a really great childhood. St. Louis was a great town for weather because we get so many extremes. We get leftover tropical systems. Of course, we get big snowstorms and tornadoes and, of course, flooding. There are a lot of times where, the Mississippi, Missouri River is flooded
it
impacts a lot of people. People couldn't go to school. So it really was a really great weather town, but it's a little too cold for me.
I bet.
The food is excellent.
So growing up, I mean, did your parents kind of push you in this science direction? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I would say so. Like even like my dad, or I could talk to my parents about the Coriolis force or something like that. So they all knew that. So it was a big deal,
Wow.
They pushed, education and, science. So, before it became the new thing, we were always kind of doing that. So everybody was pretty smart in family.
You seem like you have a great personality, too, which, most people who are bright and very smart don't have a great personality, but you seem like a talker. I mean, I could see you like as class president or you were like, hosting all kinds of events. What were you like in high school and middle school?
I was really like the kind of kid that I could hang out with anybody. I could hang out with the freaks and geeks. you know, the cool kids, you know, I was just kind of neutral. So I kind of appreciated everybody. I kind of just kind of straddled that role of trying to just be friends with kind of everybody. You kind of really just have to embrace just people who you are, you know, and, you know, and where I grew up, I was kind of one of the only minorities. So it was, you know, it was just kind of different for me. So I just really kind of learned to adapt is, I guess, probably what I should say.
I bet. Tell people what that was like. What was it? Was it, you know, was it very obvious that you were a minority? I mean, do you feel like people, like, you just fit in and you didn't realize it till later?
Yeah, I mean, I really just kind of fit in, you know, and we just all just kind of hung out, you know. I think probably when I got older, I probably realized more like, okay, maybe I look a little different than other people, but, you know, where I grew up. And then I'm like, wow, there's so many other people out here. But yeah, I mean, I had a great childhood. I mean, I had great friends and, you know, everybody was very warm and embracing. So it was pretty good.
So when did you decide you wanted to be on TV? Tell us about the journey. You end up obviously graduating from high school. You go to college. You know, did you know immediately that you wanted to combine kind of your science background that your family had in television? Tell us how that all came together.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I always wanted to be a meteorologist and I always wanted to be in TV. It's something I just remember just sitting outside and I used to love it when storms would come through and I would look at the trees and the leaves and the trees would switch around when the winds would come through with the storms coming through. So it was something I always really loved. But then I was like, oh my God, the science, you know, some of the science with the meteorology was pretty tough. So I ended up getting my journalism degree and then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go back and get my meteorology degree and I'm just going to power through this. I'm going to get through thermodynamics and I'm going to do it all. I'm going to do SKU-T and here I am now.
Wow.
So it goes to show. And you know, follow your dreams.
Follow your dreams. And where did you go to college? Did you go to college?
I got my degree from Mississippi State.
Okay, you went to Mississippi State. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Real Southern girl down there in Mississippi.
Yeah, I got my meteorology degree there. And so it was great. I mean, a lot of meteorologists go to Mississippi State. So they're really well known for this. And so, yeah. So it goes to show, you know, go back, put your mind to it, and you can pass.
You can pass. That's so inspiring, right? It's a struggle. So where do you get your first gig out of college? You become a meteorologist, you get your degree, and then where do you start?
You like a lot of us here, we start in small markets. I worked in Missouri, then I worked in Richmond, Virginia. And then from Richmond, Virginia, I jumped to CNN. And then from there, I went to the Weather Channel. And then long story short, I ended up having a transplant and now I'm back in here.
So what was that like? I mean, was CNN or Weather Channel always the dream? I mean,
Yeah, you know what? I would tell you, my dream was always CNN. Like, I loved CNN a lot. It was a great company, great station. And then one day, Weather Channel came knocking, and then I went there. And working at Weather Channel, it's like going back to school. It really is, because there's so many great meteorologists there, you know, Jim Cantore, Greg Forbes, the tornado experts out there, Tom Nizzle. So it was a great experience. You know, I worked at CNN with some great people, and then I went to Weather Channel and I worked with great people. You know, I did shows with Al Roker and Sam Champion. So
I was going to say, Sam Champion there? I love Sam.
Yes. Sam Champion was there. And now he's back at ABC. So I really had some great role models, you know, at Weather Channel and both, you know, CNN. But yeah, it was great. Al Roker was great. Just so many great people. Jim Cantore, all nice. And
so
brilliant.
Folks. How did you end up at Fox 5? Did you want to come back to this area? Did they just sort of love you, want you, and you are like, you know what? All right, this is a job.
It's B. Yes.
Yes. They loved you. They wanted you. Yeah. So you were like, yes. I'm taking this gig.
Hello. I mean, isn't that what everybody wants?
It's good to be wanted, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's how I ended up here.
Well, tell me this. You've had all, you know, like a lot of people, you've had your struggles in life and your highs and lows.
Yeah, you too.
Yes. I mean, we've both had a cancer, which is like, oh, I don't know how you took it, but like when you hear that word, I think the words,
it's gut-wrenching. You're like, me? I have cancer? You're like, it just doesn't make sense, you know?
And you don't, so tell us what you had and how you found out.
I have a form of leukemia. I have a form of blood cancer. And I just was like not feeling well. I was getting confused a lot, just dizzy, like hand, foot, mouth, everything that was going on. I mean, like I had every type of like cold. I was getting sick all the time. And I kept saying, I'm like, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. And I was aching all the time. So finally, I went to a doctor. I went to numerous doctors for probably about a year. And everybody's like, oh, you're fine. You're fine. You're just, you know, whatever. You're getting older. And finally, I went to another doctor, Dr. Drew Freilich, which he was a urologist in Atlanta. And I credit him with saving my life because he took my symptoms seriously. Like, you know, one thing about when you are sick, you really have to be an advocate for yourself. And this reminds me, I still need to do a Google review for him for saving my life.
He's waiting on that, Jen.
He's waiting on that one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, so next thing I know, like, okay, he's like, we're going to do, you know, a scan. And thankfully I did it because I was like, oh, maybe I'm not even going to do it. You know, and then the doctor's office called. They're like, hey, you haven't done the scan yet. I was like, fine, I'll go. I was like, well, I didn't feel like doing the copay. So make a long story short, I went and had the scan. And I remember I was going up to the doctor's office to drop off the scan. He called me. I'm like, hey, how did you get my scan already? He's like, oh, I'm like, I just dropped it off. He's like, are you in the building? And I'm like, yeah. And then he's like, well, why don't you go upstairs? And I'm like, wait a minute.
I know it's never good when they want to see you.
No, it's when they call you. I was like, no, you look at it and call me later. It's really nice out. It's like 78 degrees. I'm going to go have lunch with some friends. Call me after you look at that. He's like, no, really, you need to come upstairs. So I was like, oh, crap. You know how you get that call?
Yeah.
And you're like, you ever see those scenes in the movie? And like, you're walking down the hallway and the hallway just keeps getting longer and longer. I was like, oh, God, this is not going to be good. And it wasn't good. So then they're like, yeah, we think you have cancer. And I was like, oh, great. And then after that, my whole world just fell apart. And then they're right. And then I ended up going to a doctor and I ended up going to Emory University, which I lucked out because they specialized in my cancer, which is, you know, in my town. And they were like, you're going to need a bone marrow transplant. I was like, oh, God. And then they're like, yeah, you're going to have to do this. So I did like maybe like 7 months of chemotherapy. And then I had to check into the hospital. And then
you were working, right, this whole time?
You know what? I actually just stopped working because I wasn't feeling good. And, like, I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't figure out what it was. I mean, like,
wow.
I was like I had slurred speech. Well, you know, the cancer had caused, like lesions in my head and my spine and hips and everything like that. So, so I was just getting ready to go back to work, but I knew something was wrong. I knew it. Just people weren't finding it. And, you know, you start Googling, looking up symptoms, and, you know, I couldn't diagnose it. I never thought it would be cancer. But anyway, long story short, so they told me how to get a bone marrow transplant.
Sure.
So I have this ugly scar, which people always ask me, that's my port.
Yeah, sure.
I used to hate it, and I used to hide it, and now I'm just like, okay, well, I just embrace it.
Hey.
It gave me life, right?
You're here. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I don't know about you, but I had to have these ugly, like, tassels. They were hanging out, and I'll save you all the gory details. But so I had the bone marrow transplant. At the same time, I had like 6 dogs because like 2 of my friends were adopting dogs and they were like, oh, well, I think we don't want the dogs anymore. So I was like trying to battle cancer. And then I had 6 dogs and, you know, mounting bills and everything else. So, but I tell you what, those dogs, they saved my life because they were my best friends.
I was going to ask you, who got you through? I mean, you know, you left a job. You now are diagnosed with cancer. I mean,
It was hell.
And for 7 months of just hell.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So I started like the chemo, I guess, maybe like in June. And then when I had the bone marrow transplant, you're in isolation for like 3 weeks in the hospital. And then you come out of there, you're in isolation for another 100 days. So like, you know, you don't have visitors, you're going crazy. And like, people wonder why I'm so close to my dogs. Well, I was locked up with them for so long. Before COVID, nobody could touch us bone marrow transplant people.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you isolation.
Knew. You knew
like,
what it was like.
You think you have problems? I had to sit in my house for, you know, 130 days. What about you? No, everybody does it, you know. But we still did it way longer. We couldn't do it with, you know, family, friends and stuff like that. So,
Jen, how did that experience change? Did you, you know, some people it's life changing. Other people want to move on from it and kind of, you know, not dwell on the past. What was it for you?
Well, I mean, it did change my life in the sense that, you know, I I think I was a little too vain. Like, I was really into my hair. I had fabulous hair. I'm like, my hair was like down to here, and everybody always thought I had a weave. I'm like, they didn't realize I got it from my mom. They know that my hair, and that was really traumatic for me because, like, my hair was it. And, like my hair always had to be perfect. I drove many a hair stylist crazy, like my friend Zula. But so when I had to shave my hair off, it was traumatic.
Yeah.
It was really traumatic.
I bet. It's a hard day.
Like, here's a little probably oversharing. So I was like, you know what? If I'm going to be bald, I'm going to look good. I'm like, I want lip injections. This is what I want. I went all crazy. I was like, I'm going to look really good. Clearly, I was not in my right state. It was all the chemo. Oh my gosh, and then little did I know, like, okay, so when they prep you for all this medicine for your transplant, it makes your face swell. I had all these, like, you know, steroids, and you know what this is. My lips were so big, like, everything. It was ridiculous. And I was like, everybody's like, what is going on with your lips?
You're like, well, the injections.
I don't do it anymore.
Plus this.
They're normal now. They're back to normal. My mom appreciates, but
it's
so anyway, yeah. So it made it, you know, for me, it just meant that, you know, I really kind of wanted to give back to other people, and like people who are going through the same thing that I went through, and just like what you went through. Yeah. I wanted people to know that, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, because you feel like you are in the gutter. It's the lowest point. You're like, how am I ever going to get back to being myself? You know, when you come home from this transplant, I couldn't even walk up like 5 sets of stairs with just without being winded. You know, it was just, it was ridiculous. And, you know, just being trapped in the house, like, you know, for part of the time, I had to be away from the animals because of the immune system and, you know, the danger of that. So,
yeah.
If you see me around DC and my dogs are with me, it's because, well, I've developed an unhealthy bond with them.
I don't blame you. Yeah, and I was telling you,
I have a stroller. I do have a stroller.
I had seen that you have a stroller. Yeah. You have 4 dogs now, right?
Yeah, now I'm down to 3. We lost one. We lost Sweet Willow. So now I'm down to 3. So if you see a brown girl walking around Bethesda with a stroller, it's me with a bunch of dogs. And they're very cute. And I'm not just saying this. My dogs are
very cute.
They're very cute.
Yeah, you are amazing and so brave.
I'm a Pom Mom and a Yorkie Mom.
Pom Mom and a Yorkie Mom. Yeah, I was saying, I went through a pregnancy cancer, and the day you walk into that infusion center for the first time, it's like, it's out of body. You cannot believe it.
It's the loneliest place in the world. I mean, and it is so depressing. And I said to my friend, God, this is the most depressing place. She's like, no. A child's, you know, a children's cancer place. That's the worst place in the world to go, you know.
I know. So. And you're getting better. It's just, it's hard. It's very hard. But how long
did you go through your chemotherapy?
Mine was a couple of months. Mine was caught really, really early. So they actually gave me methotrexate shots. So I never had to have a port put in.
You had it in your stomach? And
in my butt.
Because you had a baby in your belly, yeah.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately for my situation, I was telling you, I lost the baby. Then I had this crazy hemorrhage, which was knew something was wrong. And this mole was growing back. And then I had the 12 shots, you know, 4 rounds over 2 months. And it was, I mean, look, you know, I knew I had a good prognosis.
Yeah, burnt skin, all that kind of stuff.
Tell me this, though. I wanted to find out, you know, and then we'll move on
to
happier.
But now you have a new baby, right?
Yeah, he's 8 months old. Yes,
okay,
yes.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm loving it. So, Jen, let's move on. I want to find out, you're obviously new to the D.C. area. How are you liking it?
People are very nice here. The weather is a little, you know, a little bit too cool for my taste. I will say that. But I think, like, my favorite part of D.C., like, weather-wise, I love the winds. The winds get so gusty here, coming in off the mountains and being so close to the ocean. I love a good wind event here.
I love it. And how long have you been at Fox 5 now?
Since the end of January.
End of January. Okay, you're coming up on 1 year, though.
In January, yep.
So aside from the winds, what is something that you're still adjusting to about the D.C. area?
The traffic camera lights.
Oh, have you gotten a lot of traffic tickets, Jen Delgado?
Yes, I have. No one told me, like, when you go down Wisconsin from Bethesda into D.C., I got like tickets. Like, I remember one night I had like three, just like in just one stretch. So no one warned me about that. That's the one thing I cannot stand about you, Meryl.
You have
it
to
wasn't
be
like
so
I
careful.
Was speeding. I was going maybe like 4 miles over the speed limit. It cost me like $50 for each ticket within like 30 seconds. Montgomery County, you've got a lot of my money.
A lot. Okay, tell me. All right, so you obviously are a pet lover. You love dogs, but do you
I
like
love animals? Yes, I do. I love animals. What can I say? I mean, animals are a lot of times better than most people, as you and I both know, right?
Yeah. Well, that's true.
You know, I just grew up with animals, and everywhere I go, it's funny, like animals just seem to kind of follow me. They try to follow me home.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you have anything aside from dogs? Like, or have you had any pets that you haven't really shared with the audience that you've had over the years?
You know, I've always just had a lot of Pomeranians. You know, like I said, now I'm down to 3 dogs, which is really weird because I'm so used to like, okay, getting in the car, 1 doggy, 2 doggies, 3 doggies, 4 doggies. And now I'm down to 3. So I always say like, 1 dog is easy. Like, you know, 1 dog is like having a child, like 1 child. 2 dogs is easy. You have somebody to play with, and then you get 3 dogs. It's okay. It's not bad. 4 dogs is crazy. I don't necessarily recommend that. But once you get it down, and the good news is mine have always been so small. My 1 Yorkie's only like 2 pounds. Like, so I can just like literally pick him up. But the problem is he's so little. Sometimes I forget him and I'm like, oh my God, where's Oscar?
where's Oscar?
Literally, I do.
What?
Okay. And then I'll open up the door and he's like walking down the hall of the apartment. Like, does anybody know where I live? You know?
Tell me what the names of your dogs are.
Okay. So I have Paco Taco, Louie, Oscar, and then the one who just passed is Willow. So, So I have 4 puppies. Well, in heaven, the 4th one. But, and then before that, I had Winston, and I had Baxter, and then I had Nikki. So I've had a lot of pets.
And you work crazy hours, right? So, I mean, are your dog walking bills?
Yeah, it takes a village. Yeah. It really does. It takes a village. You know how people have, like, nannies? They have dog nannies. They have good uncles and aunts, new fur uncles and aunts. Luckily, I have a good friend here, Ethan and Emily, and they really love the dog. So when I need help, the worst part is, when there's severe weather, you know, I'm worried about like keeping people alive and tracking tornadoes. And sure. Then I'm also worried about my dog, Louie, because he's terrified of thunderstorms. He's like, I don't care. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
Call Jim Cantore. You know, this is bad. So that makes it a little stressful. So, I it takes a lot of work. It costs a lot of money, too.
I was going to say.
One thing that I've noticed, the biggest challenge now with COVID and animals, it's very hard to get into a vet clinic.
Oh.
Because so many people have adopted pets. There's a veterinarian shortage because there's so many pets out there now. Like, you know, and then a lot of vet clinics aren't even taking you on. So, like, I got denied by probably like 6 clinics. And I'm like, look, I mean, I've got a lot of dogs.
Oh, my
I'm
gosh.
I'm a good client.
Yeah,
this is like kind of the big challenge now with COVID with so many people, which is great that people adopted dogs, but there's a really severe dog veterinarian shortage.
So, Jen, what are some things that you do when you're not at work? Obviously,
you know, I'm a big outdoor person. I like to just, I really love to be outside. I love just to like walk and, you know, hike. Those are some of the things I like to do. You know, I really like to go to the movies, but I really don't go to the movies really or do a lot of things because, you know, I guess I didn't mention this earlier, you know, with COVID, you know, we're all being very cautious with it, but I actually have to be even more cautious because the COVID vaccine has the least efficacy for people with blood cancer. So I'm very high risk. So, you know, a lot of the things that I used to like to do, I can't do as much. You know, I would love to go check out some of the museums and things like that, but I really have to just kind of be more aware, you know, and DC is great, you know, about people wearing masks, but, you know, some of the things that I used to love to do, like many people, it's been put on hold. So, you know, being outdoors is a way, like, you know, it gives you a little bit more freedom, you know.
Yeah.
I like to go down the Beltway and, you know, since I've been here, I've been exploring a little bit, you know, going to, you know, outdoor areas like Arlington or even like Annapolis or things like that. So, you know, once things get better, I think in the spring, I think I'm going to check out things more. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's, you know, really it. I just really like being outdoors.
I know. I'm with you. I love being out walking, hiking, and obviously you take your pets out a lot.
I really like going to Costco.
Oh, you're a Costco woman, huh?
You know, I can't really do that as much here either. So I'm a foodie.
I love it. What are some of your favorite? Do you have a favorite restaurant yet in DC? Have you been able to explore much? I know with COVID and, you know, everything, it's kind of hard.
I've gone to a couple places. Like I've gone to like Flavio's, which is in DC, which is very nice, big outdoor open patio. Great. What are some of my favorite places here? I really don't feel like I have any favorite places. There is a little sandwich shop next to work. And I think I literally moved here because of the sandwich place, but it's closing in December. But it's called the Hambin Cafe. It's owned by these wonderful Korean ladies, and they make Korean food all week long. Yum. And I love Korean food. So that's become kind of like sort of like my home away from home if I want to get some food there.
Yeah.
What else do I like to go? Places do I like to go to? My dog really likes to go to the Lululemon a lot.
Okay.
Because we walk around and Paco really loves the dog treats there. And where else do I go around here? I mean, I have my usual spots. I go to some of the little bakeries around here.
Jen, if you weren't a meteorologist, have you ever thought about what else you would do?
Seismologist. I like to be either a seismologist because, you know, I love anything geography. What's or a dermatologist. Those are the two. One of the two, I would just.
You do have amazing skin, by the way. You, beautiful.
It's called makeup.
No, I bet you were always born. I bet you were born with good skin.
I would love to be like a dermatologist in another life.
Really?
Or a seismologist. Yes, I would. I love earthquakes.
Okay, those tell me what a seismologist is. It's they measure earthquakes?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Why earthquakes?
That goes back to like my international roots at CNN. And, you know, we did a lot of geography and I just loved everything to do with earthquakes and, you know, tsunamis and, you know, lava, volcanoes and all that. So, you know, a lot of meteorologists are geography lovers too. So it kind of sort of goes hand in hand.
Yeah. Jen, yeah. What do you want the viewers to know as far as like, what is like something that's not known about your job that might be either difficult or kind of fun or, you know, what do you think the viewer doesn't see?
Well, you know, our job, it's fun. It is fun. You know, the great thing is, you know, we don't have to take our work home, you know, in the sense that, yes, we're planning ahead for the forecast ahead, but, you know, we have that night. I think a lot of people think that our job is very glamorous and we come into hair and makeup. And, you know, I have that, you know, at CNN and Weather Channel. But, you know, if we look kind of jacked up on the air, that's our fault, you know, because with COVID, a lot of that's been cut back. So I think people don't realize sometimes it's very hard, even like when I would do weather, just like at the Weather Channel or something like that. And, you know, you're covering weather all across the country and people would get so upset. Like you said, Vichy and not Viché or something like that. Or, you know, you don't pronounce the name right. Look, we're just trying to keep you alive. Okay. You know, it's hard. So, you know, I hope people at home know that, you know, it's very hard. You know, you got to learn the lingo. You got to know where like people have gone to school. You have to learn all these things to, you really kind of familiarize yourself and localize yourself with the area. So
it's so much harder than people think, right? You know,
it's a lot harder. And then like you're thinking on the fly and you're like, okay, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. You know, I just want to get the information out. So, you know, I just hope that, you know, viewers at home know we're, you know, when you move here and whenever you move to a new area, you're always trying and you always want to learn, but sometimes, you know, maybe you don't pronounce the name right, or, you know, or you zoom into the radar, you're like, I don't know this name in this town. So,
Jen,
you know, it's a learning curve, just like with everything, whenever you start a new job.
What's been one of the learning curves at Fox 5? Because I think, you know, one of the things I hear on these podcasts from the reporters and the anchors and the meteorologists, you know, one of the unique things about Fox, our company, is they really want you to have a personality. And I'm sure you've worked at other places where they probably didn't, right? They just wanted you to report the weather. They don't want you to interject. Has that been, I mean, you have a great personality anyway, but has that been an adjustment or were you always, it was easy for you to talk about your own life, talk about your dogs, talk about the weather?
Yeah, you know, I think here, you know, they're really in line of what's going on now with so many people like relying on social media and, you know, Instagram, Snapchat. And so, you know, Fox 5 is really great staying on the cutting edge of that. And I think that's one thing that has been probably a bigger change for me from the time when I was out, you know, recovering and then coming back. That was one big thing I've noticed. That's kind of the biggest difference. But, you know, Fox has been very embracing about that. And they want you to, like, sort of have no filter and, you know, be yourself, which is great. And, you know, the station here, everybody loves weather. And, you know, when we say, like, hey, weather needs to be the lead, our bosses are really great about it. And, you know, they'll rally around us and get us what we need. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, some places where I've worked in the past, maybe weather isn't, you know, a priority, but here it really is. And I think that's what's really great about Fox 5.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's great. And I think you kind of touched on it, but social media, are you, you know, some of our colleagues are great at social media. I mean, do you like to do any of that? Are you not really into it, but you've kind of learned to adjust?
I can't dance, so you're not going to see me on there doing any dances with Angie or Sierra. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, no, you don't want to dance. Yeah, you don't want to dance. Yeah,
I won't be dancing. Really, you'll see me on there just maybe at times just showing you a little bit of my daily life or, you know, dog mom life or, you know, obviously weather life. I like to try to combine the two of them together, but yeah, me dancing, singing, that's not going to be me up there. I'll leave that to the pros.
I know. Jen, you'd have a ton of followers though if you just had accounts for your dogs. Like you could just do their lives, actually.
I do have a page for them and I need to be better, but I always feel like I'm being pulled in so many different directions and so much going on. So they have an Instagram page. It's called Pommy Rich Boys, P-O-M-M-Y Rich Boys.
Oh my God.
So I wanted them to sound kind of like bougie, but then street at the same time.
I think you nailed it. That's great.
I should call them our dog mom is broke because we cost so much. That's
oh, I know. It's as much as having a child.
It's expensive. I mean, I'm not going to compare
my life
problems to somebody with real children, but yes.
We've been rounding out these podcast episodes with kind of doing rapid fire questions. So tell us this. What's your favorite movie? You're a woman that loves movies. What's your favorite movie?
Gosh, I have so many favorite movies. Okay, I'll tell you one that I really like the movie, like Gross Point Blank.
Oh.
I like the movie. Great music. It's just a funny movie. Of course, I like Mean Girls. I mean, and I love, like, it's Christmas time, so I love A Christmas Story.
Yep.
What else do I like? It's very hard when you think about some of your favorite movies.
I know, it's hard to pick. But that's a good list, actually. I think those are good
ones. Yeah, that's a couple. I really don't like war movies. Too depressing. I know it's like...
And I'm like not into a lot of violence either. It's like after a while, it's just too much to watch.
Oh, you know a movie I like? I like the movie with like Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock.
Oh God, which one is it?
They were dating. I think that
movie is it The Proposal or something?
Maybe yes, The Proposal. I thought that movie was super cute. I love that movie.
That was super cute. Okay, I love that you're obsessed with skin and dermatology. Tell us about your skincare routine. Are you like do you have tons of products? What's your, you have beautiful skin.
Yeah, I don't think my skin looks that great. If you ask any of my friends, they will say that I am the queen of ash. If you know what ash means.
You're ashy?
If you look down, that means I don't have any lotion on my feet. But I use a lot of glycolic products. So, this, you know, it's good for the turning over the skin and, you know, things like that.
Sure. Tell us, what is there a goal that you have for, like, your career that you haven't achieved yet? I mean, you've been to network.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot, to be honest. I mean, yeah. I've worked with really great people, you know. I've had shows nationally, internationally. So, I mean, I feel like I've done a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So I think now really is, I think one thing I would really like to do is just really just kind of also become a voice for people with cancer and, you know, and just trying to connect with them. And one thing that I did, I guess I didn't mention, when I was in the hospital, I missed my animals so much. And then when I would go to infusion, as you know, it's so depressing. You're sitting there getting pumped up with drugs. You're by yourself. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to make my dog a service dog. And so I turned Louie into a service dog. So that way he could go to the hospitals and visit all the patients, especially the kids. And a lot of times, you know, you can't take weight on your waist or your lap when you're chemo and you're sore and things like that. So it was important to me because he's a little dog. I mean, a lot of times you see the big dogs out there. So sure. Louie, you know, is a trained emotional support dog. And then COVID happened and then he lost his job. So hopefully he'll be able to start working again soon.
Hopefully Louie can come back. Yeah, he can get another gig.
He's unemployed right now.
tell me, this is there a talent you wish you had that you don't have?
Oh, God. A lot of things, you know, like growing up, I was first chair in clarinet and as well for the violin. And I kind of wish I would have stuck with that a little bit more. You know, talents, you know, I did gymnastics a lot when I was a kid. So I kind of wish I would have stuck with that.
Oh, yeah.
But other talents. Yeah. I mean, there's so many things out there. People are so good at so many things.
Aren't they? It's crazy. I mean, everything you look around,
people
you think
just being, you know, great at dancing or, you know, great cooks or something like that. I don't have the cooking gift. My sister is a chef, so she has that one. But there's so many things I wish I was able to do better. But, you know, we still get more time.
Absolutely. Jen, please. Yes. I mean, every day. Any regrets so far, whether it's personal life or with your dogs, anything that you wish you could get a do-over?
God, there's so many things.
I know.
We don't have enough time.
Me too. I know. I can understand that. Anything you want to share or no? Or just there's so many?
No, I'm not really. No, not really.
Okay, last question. Tell us, I'm sure listeners over the years, viewers.
The only thing I think I would regret is maybe not becoming a seismologist, probably. That's probably. But there's still more time. I could still do it.
Oh, you'll do it. Oh, you'll definitely do it. Tell us a funny story. You know, certainly viewers, you, Marissa, all the women, right? I'm sure get tweeted at all the time. Any funny tweets or like a viewer ever said anything to you that stuck with you that was funny or you liked or you didn't like? Because people certainly feel like they can comment on anything.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, viewers can send nice letters and nice messages, and they can send not so nice messages, you know. So I think probably like the biggest comment I get from people, probably when I meet them in person, they're like, wow, you're so much smaller in person. Or a lot of times people will tweet at me like, oh, you need to fix your hair or, you know, something like that. I'm like, I can't control it. This is the result of chemo curls. So, you know, it's funny. A lot of
yeah, thanks.
Like, oh, you need to fix your wig. I'm not wearing a wig. It just looks like a wig because it's so big. So I think that's probably the, you know, the most comment I get.
Tell us where we can follow you. Where can people find you and follow you?
Follow me on Twitter, Jen Delgado Weather. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. And then I'm on Snapchat. I just don't know my Snapchat name. So
and
if
Jen,
you find my name, you tell me.
When can we watch you? When are you on?
Of course, I post a lot on my dog's page, which is Pommy Rich Boy, P-O-M-M-Y, Rich Boys.
Awesome. And when can we watch you? When are you on? What's your schedule at Fox?
I am on Wednesday through Sunday, and then I'm on in the evenings. You can catch me on the 5, 6, 10, and then 11 o'clock.
Love it. Thanks, Jen Delgado. Thank you.
You're welcome.